Now, friends, we're coming to a most unusual section in the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 17 and 18, we have here a section that deals with regulations that would control a king, a priest, and a prophet. And this has to do with the office of all three, the office of king, the office of a priest, and the office of a prophet. These were the three main offices in the nation Israel, in the theocracy that God had set up for these people. Now, will you notice, as we begin verse 1 in chapter 17, "Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish, or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God." Now, friends, this almost touches a great many folk today who give God their secondhand clothes. We send it to the mission or to the missionaries. Or we give God that which is left over. We don't give him the best. Now, God says that the firstborn of every creature belonged to him, and everything presented to him, every offering, was without spot or blemish. You will find that in Malachi, one of the charges God made against his people that brought down judgment, and in fact, it was number one in the list of charges, was that they were offering to God a sick cow, a sick animal. For instance, they have a very fine young bullock, and the man has decided to keep that bullock. But one morning he gets up, goes out to his barn lot, and there's this animal sick. So he says to his boys, "Hustle up, boys, we'll put it in the truck, rush it off over to the temple, and we'll offer this prize bullock to the Lord." And the neighbors would say, "My, look at Mr. So-and-so. Isn't he generous? He's giving God that prize bullock." God says, "I don't want it." God says, "I don't accept it." And God says that that is absolutely meaningless. You know, a great many of us believers, the way we do business with God, we'd be arrested and put in a penitentiary if we did business in the business world with other individuals like that today. That is a place where many of us could check up ourselves. How honest are we with God in financial matters? Now, don't misunderstand. God says he's not poor. He's not asking for anything. He says the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I don't want your old sick cow. And he says that the gold and silver is mine. You couldn't give God anything, friends. But you know, he permits us to do this. Why? For the blessing to our own soul. And it doesn't bless us when we are beggarly and stingy with God. This is very important, you see. Now, verse 2, he's talking here now about idolatry among the people. These are laws in this chapter that pertain to different areas of their common culture of that day. Notice this, "If there be among you, within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that which abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which hath committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die." Now, this was an absolute law against idolatry. You say, what was the penalty for breaking the Ten Commandments? As we've called attention to this before, the penalty for breaking any one of the commandments was stoning to death. For some reason, God was not very enlightened with the enlightenment of this generation, we are so generous and we are so loving and we're so civilized today, we've gotten rid of the death penalty. But the very interesting thing is we have the most lawless society that the world has ever seen. Sometimes makes you wonder if maybe God wasn't right after all. If you want to know the truth, I think he was right. And this was the penalty. Now you'll notice those that worship the sun, moon, or the host of heaven. If you look into Greek mythology and the idolatry of the Orient, you will find out that many of the gods and goddesses are associated with the sun, moon, and stars. That was common among the Greeks. As you know, we identified Diana was the goddess of the moon, for instance. And we find Apollo the sun, and so on and so on. As God put it, they worship the creature rather than the creator. Where did that begin? I personally think it began at the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel actually was a rallying place for those against God. And they were against God now. Why? Well, he'd sent a flood. And now they're going to worship the sun. Sun, according to them, never sent a flood. The very interesting thing is they didn't know that it was the sun that drew the water up that sent the rain and moved the clouds across the sky. But you see, in idolatry and the science of that day wasn't very accurate. And maybe the science of our day doesn't have the final word. A great many people today feel like man's wisdom and knowledge is accurate. Now, they were quite inaccurate in that day. So they turned to worship the sun and the moon and the stars. They seemed to be friendly, and they worshiped them rather than the Creator who made them. And this is God's condemnation. It's breaking the first and second commandments.